Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it's recorded that in the springtime of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. We know what happens after David abdicates his duty as king, when he fails to do what God has called him to do, namely, in the springtime of the year, to go out with his armies in order to fight the enemies of God's people. It's recorded after this that as David is sitting in his own house, he sees Bathsheba bathing herself on her roof. He lusts in his heart, and his lust drives him to break the sixth commandment, to commit adultery. But that is not the end. He finds out that Bathsheba is now with child, his child. And so he plans a scheme. He becomes like unto the schemer himself, the one who came into the garden at the beginning with a foreign word from God and said, "I will lie about what is going on here. I will try to cover things up myself. I will blame someone else." And so he calls Uriah, one of David's mighty men, one of the men that David fought shoulder to shoulder with, side by side with, one of the mighty men that helped protect David as he was being sought by Saul. He calls Uriah back from the lines and says, "Go home so that you can enjoy the comfort of your home, the comfort of your bed, the comfort from your wife." But Uriah would not. "How could he?" he said. "How could I enjoy the comfort of my home, the comfort of my bed, the comfort of my wife when Israel, the armies of Israel, are on the front lines fighting the Philistines and the enemy armies? How can I endure comfort when they are fighting?" And so David sends back word to Joab, "Put Uriah on the front lines where the fiercest of the battle is happening so that he might die." And so it was. And David takes Bathsheba into his own house at the great applause of all of Israel. Look at how wonderful and caring David is. Look at the shepherd that he is of his people. That when one of his men is taken, he takes his wife into his own home. He provides for them. But word comes to Nathan the prophet, "It shall not be." And Nathan confronts David with this. What should be done for someone who steals the only ewe lamb from someone? David says, "This man deserves death. It is the king's decree." And Nathan says, "You are the man." Thankfully, David repents when confronted by this prophet and his word. Thankfully, David pours out his soul in Psalm 51. But his child, his son, the one born by Bathsheba, will die in his place. Jesus is hailed king as he enters into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He is hailed king as he is lifted up upon his throne, the cross. This is the King of the Jews. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not abdicate his duty. He is king, and he goes into Jerusalem in order to make war against the enemies of God. He makes war not against flesh and blood, as St. Paul talks about, but against the powers and principalities of the air, against sin itself, against death, hell, Satan, and all of his demons. He goes to battle. He leads the charge. He is the tip of the spear. And he asks for help along the way. Father, if it be your will, send your angels to help and to guide and uphold me. The point here is that when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, even though he is not on a war horse, he's on but a lowly donkey, a beast of burden, a beast meant to carry the burdens of man, he thereby indicates how he is going to make war against the enemies of God. That he is going to do it by bearing the burdens of his people, by going head to head with our real enemies. Not one another, not the people sitting next to you, not to the people out in the town, but the powers and principalities of the air. Of your own sin, of the sin that you see as you look into the mirror of God's law. As Nathan the prophet says to you, you are the man. As even you said in the reading of the Passion today, is it I who will betray you? I do not know the man. Our Lord goes to fight for you, entering Jerusalem, scorning the cross and its shame, in order to sit down at the right hand of the Father and to open up the gates of heaven to all who believe and trust in him. And he has done it. For though he was sealed in the tomb, on the third day he is risen again. And the crucified and risen Lord is now seated in his flesh, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, blood of our blood, is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he pours out upon his people all the fruits of his cross, the forgiveness of sins. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. You have heard it said that every Sunday is like a little Good Friday and Easter. That every Sunday is like a little Good Friday and Easter, where we celebrate the death of our Lord, by which he accomplished our atonement, and the resurrection of our Lord, by which he accomplished our justification. But every Sunday is also a little Palm Sunday. For we still welcome him, do we not, in the words of Psalm 118, as they welcomed him as he entered Jerusalem? Though now he does not ride in on a donkey, but no less means, he comes to us in his body and blood upon lowly bread and wine in order to do what he did then, to give to us what he accomplished then, the forgiveness of sins. And as we welcome him, we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So today is Palm Sunday. But every day hereafter is a little Palm Sunday, as we welcome him who comes in his body and blood to forgive our sins and prepare us to enjoy the mansions he has prepared for us by his blood. In the name of Jesus. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.